The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
This week on the Kids Clinic, we are looking at ways we can help kids be more confident about expressing their own opinions, because a survey last week in the UK found that one in five teenagers don't share any political views due to a fear of being criticised and cancelled. And clinical psychologist Tara Logan-Buckley joins us now to look at this. Tara, this kind of sort of follows on very nicely from our previous conversation. Leo Varadkar is in the public stocks because he said something that people didn't like. And I don't even want to get into whether it was right or wrong or true or false. But that narrative of no debate and cancel culture and all, it has had a chilling effect on free speech, which isn't great for young people, is it?
No, absolutely not. So I suppose when we look at this in cancel culture, I suppose when we look at it from a psychological perspective, adolescence in particular is a time where we learn how to think, not just what to think, but how to question, how to explore, time to form our views and our own identities. And the really important thing for this is we need two things. We need to be able to do trial and error. So we need to be able to say things, get them wrong, be challenged and redefine our thinking, mm-hmm. along with being able to do that in a safe place. So you can gain psychological safety for that as well. What's happening in modern culture is that young people kind of feel they can only speak when they're absolutely certain. So they're 100% they won't be criticised. And that disrupts this whole process of us being able to develop critical thinking. And if we can't do that, what's happening is we're developing kind of like self-censorship. So young people either don't say anything and they stay quiet, or what we see a lot is they default to what is the safest. So it might align with what your friends think or the group in school. But over time, this means that they don't develop their own identity. They have a lot of less confidence, and they're also not able to engage with different perspectives or debate or challenge people or even challenge their own views.
Yeah, and that is the downside. I know that there's always been sort of a be kind thing and, you know, say nice things and all that. And by the way, I'm not suggesting people shouldn't say that. But when you put restrictions on people's views and people's ability to express them or be allowed to express them, there is also the danger that then those views look for other avenues, which is the manosphere, or which is radicalization, or which is down rabbit holes of conspiracy theories and stuff, isn't it? In a society that isn't tolerant, and ironically this happened under a kind of a liberal society that we became more intolerant to certain views, but in a society that isn't tolerant of views and doesn't, as you say, allow people to make mistakes or say stupid things and maybe change their views, there is unintended harm there too.
Absolutely, without a doubt. I suppose, you know, this isn't a new phenomenon, by the way. Human beings have always been sensitive to social judgment, and because we're wired to belong. You know, if we had really extreme views, we might have been extradited in the past. So what's happening for younger people, or for people overall in modern society, is that the fear has now become much more visible. It's a lot more intense and it's a lot more constant. If we think about it back in the day, if you kind of challenged someone or you said something that maybe wasn't with what your friend group said, look, it would stay kind of in the schoolyard. It would be a little bit temporary and we'd get on with it. But the society and the environment that we grow up in, that young people grow up in right now, we can't allow that, because first of all, everything is public. You know, they're not just expressing an opinion. They're doing it in front of an entire audience. And that an audience can be adults, it can be peers, it can be people with completely different perspectives. Things are now a lot more permanent, which is a big, big, massive issue. Things can be screenshotted, they can be shared, video recordings can be done. So that makes things a lot more detrimental for young people growing up as well. And as you said, if we think about even social media, all the algorithms, they tend to reward people for really strong reactions because outrage travels a lot more faster. So what we're seeing is a simple disagreement can turn into something absolutely massive. So it's stopping young people from completely having their own views, or else it's stopping them from challenging others and just going with the status quo and the flow, yeah. Which then can, as you said, lead them into dangerous areas. Because if you have a group of young men that are following the manosphere, then they may feel they have to do that as well. Or you may have a young group of girls who are deciding that actually we've got the woman's sphere now as well, believe it or not, that they could move into that direction as well, because they don't know how to challenge their own identity and views.
So what do we do here? What do we do to allow, nobody wants young people having objectionable views, but I suppose one person's objectionable is another person's acceptable. But what do we say to our own young people, that our own teenagers or whatever in our homes, about off. You know, people used to say never talk about religion or politics, and there was a kind of a truth in that because you might end up in a row. But what should we say to people about, you know, young people about their opinions and about their right to express them, I suppose? Is it about just respect, expressing them respectfully?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's about maybe teaching people that the importance of allowing difference of opinions. You know, I think that we're losing that. You know, we should be able to sit with someone to talk about them, about a view, and be okay with that and to learn from it, because that's what we did. That's how we developed. That's what philosophy is about. It's about loads of different views and us discussing it. But we need to be able to do this for young people, and we need to create this environment. This needs to be done at home and in school as well, because there's a lot of cancel culture in school at the moment as well. And we need to be able to make teenagers, I suppose, feel safe doing this. So the biggest thing I always say is completely normalize that it's okay to get things wrong. We can do that so much easier as adults. We can say, actually, you know, I've changed my mind, or actually, you know what, I don't know that. Let me come back to you about that. So that's showing that actually thinking is a process, that it's not like a performance, and that I don't have to be 100% right. One of the other things that I love is encouraging teenagers to start really small. So doing it with a close family friend, doing it with a parent, or doing it with a sibling or someone they really trust, instead of doing it public at the start. So really developing that psychological safety. I love giving them kind of like simple phrases to express uncertainty. So like if someone asks them, oh, what is your political view on X, Y, Z, they might say, well, actually, you know what, I'm still figuring this out for myself. Or, you know, I haven't done enough research yet to look at both sides of that argument or that view. Or this is where my view is right now. That doesn't mean it'll always be that way, because it might change as I learn more, or I listen to other people's views. So actually, it's giving them sentences and, I suppose,
so
phrases.
Are you saying that they should offer sort of a qualified view? Because part of me, one of the things I grew up in an era that wasn't really, cancel culture wasn't a thing. Part of me always loved when teenagers offered, you know, confident, often unfounded views on things. But I thought it was a great sign that they were thinking, and that it was a sign of their confidence that they would offer the view. You know, I'm talking about when I was a little bit older than them, but they would be saying things. And I didn't really mind whether I agreed or disagreed. I just thought it was kind of good to see them engaging in things. I just wonder kind of about, you know, the way also people do change their mind. I think, was it Churchill said that if you aren't a socialist when you're young, you have no heart. And if you aren't a capitalist when you're old, you have no head. So people do change their views over time.
Oh, absolutely. And this is exactly how we change them, because we might have a view when we're younger and we got that from our friend, or we got it from our little magazine that we're reading, yeah. You know, the facts aren't. And it's great, because that's a mind working. That's critical thinking. So it doesn't matter whether it's 100% true or they've researched or not. It's the fact that they're doing it. And what I always say is really important is that, you know, it's helping them to also separate their ideas from their identity. Because I think what's happening now is if someone has a view, people are labeling that, well, that must be your identity. You must be this. Well, actually, that's not the case. You can have a view and you can have a disagreement about it, but it's not a personal attack. It's about actually realizing that I can still say these things, but emotionally be safe. And they don't have to be founded in facts. This is my view. This is my thinking process right now. And that might change in 5 months, a year. It could change in 10 years.
Yeah. A little bit of tolerance goes a long way. Look, thank you very much, Tara. That's very interesting. That is Tara Logan Buckley there, clinical psychologist. Let us know about what you think. I do think, Shane, that cancel culture, whilst originally maybe rooted in the idea of being nice and being kind and all of that sort of stuff, had a distinctly chilling effect.
It did, unquestionably.
On free speech, but also on quite normal views. It became more and more prescribed what was acceptable.
Well, I think if you hold political views that don't go, particularly among young people, that don't go with the narrative of the day or the mainstream, I think it's a cold place, and social media is a really cold place. You have to think and have views that are of a certain type.
That is a very illiberal form of liberalism.
The liberal Ayatollahs.
Let us know what you think and how best to approach this. This is the kids' clinic, so let us know how best to approach this with young people. How do you encourage young people to think for themselves? 087 1400 106.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.